Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 84 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. How you doing, Tony?
I am well.
You got a cough, though, don't you?
I do have a bit
so
of a
cough.
So
it might affect...
I will try to make that it does not surface during this podcast.
Good luck with that one. Because you've already hocked the loogie like four times on the microphone.
But that was before we pressed record.
All right. Yeah, and you are a professional. You're a trained professional.
Not in the fact-checking area, but...
No, apparently not. You got any corrections you'd like to make from last time?
Not so far.
Well, that's good. What about mail? Do we have any mail?
We have a little. Okay. Mike was trying to tell us that the song about rodents was Muskrat Love, you know, the one from Groundhog Day, which...
I didn't say the song was about rodents. I just said it was in the movie Groundhog
Day.
Well,
I had to ask him what he meant by that.
Oh, okay.
And
Muskrat Love by the Captain and Tennille.
Right, but you stand by the fact that it's I Got You Babe that's in the
It
movie.
Is I Got You Babe. It has nothing to do with me standing by the fact
I haven't
fact
seen that movie
it,
in years, so I have no idea.
It's trust me, it's I Got You Babe by Sonny and Cher.
So
I don't even know if Muskrat Love
was in. So there's
our
first correction. Mike, you're wrong.
There you go. I don't think that one counts. But Mike, you are wrong.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, my question is, who are you friends with? Muskrat Susie or Muskrat Sam? How'd you get to the wedding? That's what I want to know. Your invitation.
Somebody knows a little too many of the words of Muskrat Love.
That's really all I know. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam. That's it. That's all I got.
I want to welcome a new listener who sent us an email.
Yes.
Tom.
Hi, Tom. Sorry it took us so long to get your email.
Yeah, we actually got this email.
It was stuck in my spam folder.
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to use that for something else later. Got something stuck in my spam folder. And here's what Tom has to say. Excuse me. There's that cough I was worried about. I got turned on to the show a few weeks ago, and I'm enjoying it. So keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tom.
I haven't listened back to most of the prior episodes, so forgive me if you have already responded to this question. But what are your guys' thought on modding and piracy, particularly modding the PS3 and the problems that causes? I know that lately Sony has been after the kid who released some of their codes from the PS3 on the internet, and Sony is really trying to go after him legally. Should a person be able to mod their gaming console if they want to? What if they don't illegally download any games? Why can't they just upgrade their hardware or just use a different OS? Or has piracy become so prevalent that the gaming companies are forced to punish everyone to restrict those who mod their systems?
Well, I feel like if you want to mod your own system, I feel like you should be able to do that. I don't see any problem with that whatsoever, because that doesn't inherently make you to be doing anything wrong. You know, some people mod stuff because they want it to look different. Some people want to unlock functionality that, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want you to have. The part about then releasing the codes to do that online, that part I could see them taking, you know.
Which is probably what their issue was.
Right. So I could see them taking issue with that. But just modding it in general, why would they care? It doesn't affect them.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I love seeing, like, you know, I usually see it more with PC cases. In fact, last night I was looking at this one that this guy made, this really cool Danish modern little table, and the PC was inside of it. And he did such an awesome job with it. Like, how does this guy also know how to build furniture?
There's a guy, and I knew his name, and it's not going to come to me now, who does all kinds of, like, Xbox 360, like he made one into a laptop.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All kinds of cool stuff. He made one that looked like a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And like, that kind of stuff is really cool.
Yeah,
and I think
really
if you're not pirating, you know, if you're not, you know, taking money out of the pockets of the people that developed and programmed and all that, I don't see a problem. I mean, you own it.
Right.
You know, if I pay $300 for a PS3 and I'm not hurting anyone else, I should be able to do whatever I want with it.
Even if, because did you tell me or... Does PS3 run some kind of Linux or something like that? Or did it used to be able to run a version of Linux and then they took that out?
To.
Okay. So let's say he has a new one and he modded it so that he could still do that again. I don't see the problem with that.
No.
He's just letting himself get more functionality out of something that he paid for.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. But I also don't advocate piracy at all. And I don't engage in any form of it at all. I don't download, you know, cracked software. I don't do any kind of torrents. I don't. Right. You know, get music from friends or anything like that. I just
get your porn strictly on DVD.
Exactly. No, it's just I have almost my entire professional career since college has been in some way, shape, or form dealing with intellectual property, and that's what I do. Is I either make it or deal with it in some way, and so I just I just want to, you know, practice what I preach. I wouldn't want somebody taking the stuff that I work so hard on and using it for something else without me getting paid for it. So I won't do that to anyone else either. And especially with things like music and movies, I mean, you're talking about so many talented people, not only who work hard, but who have a skill or a talent that nobody else has. And that's why you like the stuff, is because they're doing things that nobody else is doing. So I think it's particularly unfair, you know, in that circumstance.
But. So how do you feel then about GameStop selling used games?
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, that money doesn't go to the game company.
No, but see, the reason I don't have a problem with that is, first of all, the money did go to the game company originally.
Right.
And it's helping keep GameStop in business, and that helps the game companies. So,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, retail is still important to them, and maybe at some point it won't be. But I think a secondary market is always healthy. First of all, it eliminates waste. I mean, really, is it better for GameStop to make $10 off of that and have it not go into landfill than to have part of that $10 go to whoever?
You're really going off the deep end there.
Well, no, I'm just saying there are a lot of benefits to a secondary market for pretty much anything. So
you can also look at it as maybe some people wouldn't buy those games if they didn't get them cheaper and used, and then when the next Mass Effect 3 comes out.
They'll buy the new one. Absolutely. So I don't understand
why. It raises
why
an interest in their product, even though, you know.
Definitely. Definitely.
It was sold
separately. I think it's a good thing.
That's all we have for mail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? I didn't hear from anyone telling me that they are watching Being Human. So
really?
I'm going to plead again.
Okay.
If anyone is watching Being Human, please let us know on the fan page.
Tony wants to have a conversation with somebody, and I can't do it because I'm not seeing it.
You're the worst.
No. We actually started watching the UK version.
I don't care about that.
Okay, but we'll talk about that in TV.
Oh.
So, what do you got for the old video games?
I'm continuing to play Crysis 2. And remember I said last week one of the things I really liked about it was the AI and how I thought it was very, like...
Yeah, you're recanting that statement.
I am. Yeah, I am. There are many times when, like, you'll come around to, like... You're able... Here's one thing I like. It's pretty linear in that you have quests and, you know, you have to, you know... You have to finish one quest before you go to the next quest. And it's not open world where you can just go anywhere. But in an area, though, you pretty much have free reign. And you have all these powers where you can, like, jump on things or crouch under things. And, like, I mean, they've designed it in a way that you think it's open, but, you know.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's like Tomb Raider in that sense.
Right, but even with a little more option.
Okay.
You know, more options of places to go and little nooks and crannies. So there are many times.
Oh, so it's like an English muffin.
Exactly. There are many times when I will approach an enemy from an angle that maybe that they weren't planning on.
Yeah.
And he'll just be standing there and not see me there.
Right.
And I'll even like take a shot and he won't like do anything. He'll
and you'll start waving there. Going, "Yoo-hoo, bad guy over here."
I also had a point, there was one area that was particularly difficult, so I kept dying on it, and I left it, and I came back to it, and when it reloaded, there was a little glitch, and all the enemies were just standing still, so I was able to get past that area, because I just went through and tried them all. No one did anything to me. I mean, they didn't even move. They were just standing still.
Do you remember when I had the ColecoVision, and I figured out, and I had it plugged into an outlet that was controlled by a light switch? And I figured out that if I, like, toggled the light switch just a little bit, I could glitch the games enough
so that
it would, like, mess with the code but not mess with it visually. So this one magazine, it was called Computer Fun. And then I think it later changed into – I think ultimately it became Electronic Games Magazine. But they had a contest one month for Qbert, and I won because I – I had glitched the cartridge, and I got a score of like 999 million or something like that.
Did you get a free game or something for that?
I got a free magazine subscription, and then they went out of business like the next issue, and I never got a single issue. So that was my punishment
for cheating.
You
are personally responsible for that magazine going under because of cheating.
By the way,
this is the guy whose ethics and morals are above pirating or cheating anyone out of anything.
Except a free subscription to a games magazine. That's fine. They were going to give it away anyway.
Right. So why not be you?
Exactly.
With your cheating.
I'm sure everyone else cheated.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I have also been playing a game that you and I both enjoyed back in the 90s. They just released a new version for the PS3, the PC, and the 360.
Okay.
You Don't Know Jack, the trivia game.
That was a lot of fun.
It is still a lot of fun.
Now, is it still the same guy doing the voice of Corky?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, really? His name is Cookie.
Cookie, Corky, what's the difference?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I thought maybe it was someone different and they called this one Cookie. But it sounds the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually the same person.
Right.
But
that game was a lot of fun.
And it's still a lot of fun. And I've been playing a lot.
I will even go so far as to credit them for a lot of what became good design in terms of good interactive design, in terms of they had such a simple design aesthetic for that game. And I don't know if the new one is still the same way, but everything flowed very nicely. You know, very, very big, easy to read graphics. I think there were like lots of, you know, rounded rectangles and stuff like that. And a lot of stuff that you're seeing now. And the original games were like, what, 15 years old, maybe even more.
Right. Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's great. And, they kept enough of the original, but they've had a couple like new little things. You know what I like is now you can play online. So I've been playing against, you know, other people, and, it still has the screws. Remember when you could like...
Screw someone else?
Right.
If you think they won't get the answer right. Right. Yeah.
And if they get it right, then you get screwed.
Right.
And it, you know, takes points away. Then there's the jack attack at the end.
Oh, yeah, the jack.
But there's a new thing they've added.
That's actually illegal in some states.
There's a new thing they added where they call it the wrong answer of the game. And they'll give you a little clue. Like, for example, it's always like a commercial.
Okay.
And so like in one game, the clue... Or the commercial was for the sponsor of the game was like an outhouse company that makes outhouses for indoors. So what you do then is as you're playing the game, you got to keep that in your mind and you look for an answer, a wrong answer that would match that.
That, right.
So in that particular instance, there was a question about gambling and there were four different like casino games. One of them was craps. So that was the right wrong answer. So if you pick the wrong answer there, that's, you know, that pertains to the wrong answer of the game.
Yeah.
You get like triple the points.
So and even though it's the wrong answer for the question you're on.
Right.
Okay. And they tell you that obviously at the beginning of the round, at the beginning of the game.
Beginning of the game.
Right.
They're like, this game is sponsored by, and then they do a little commercial and then you got to find, it's never,
pretty cool.
It's never like
a real
obvious
thing. Right.
I mean, you've got kind of see the cleverness in it as you're playing.
Right.
So, I mean, in addition to trying to answer the question correctly, you're also looking for that.
Yeah, that's
so that
cool.
Adds another dimension to it. And what's so great about that game, if you remember, is it doesn't just ask you a trivia question.
Right. There's little stories and little bits.
Right.
And stuff
and there's like if, you know, if, for example, if Fast and the Furious took place in the medieval times.
Right.
And, you know, how fast could a chariot go there
right,
or
exactly.
whatever, you know.
But what the other thing that I remember being funny about it too was that they would like kind of make fun of you, like if you were a total spaz on the keyboard or something, they would completely make fun of you, or you know, if you didn't get something right and they thought it was an easy question, they'd make fun of you for that too. It was very clever in the way that it was programmed to make it feel like you were really being interactive.
It's very much that way, and it the disc comes with 73 different, you know, unique games in it, and it doesn't replay them.
Right.
Which is great. So you never get questions.
And how many
again.
Rounds are there per game?
How
many questions?
11. But each game takes 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you figure 15 minutes times 73.
It's almost 20 hours of gameplay.
Right. And then you go on PSN or Xbox Network, and there are already like two packs. It just came out like 3 weeks ago, and there's already two more packs.
That's so cool.
Of 10 episodes each.
That's so cool. Is it on PC too?
Yeah.
Oh, because Amy and I used to play that all the time.
You should get it. It's awesome. I'm having so much fun with it. In fact, I got it from Gamefly.
Yeah.
It was a rental. And Gamefly has where you can buy the game if you want to keep it. And I think I may.
Right.
Because I've been playing it a lot, and I've only played like 12 games.
That's
is it? That's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And there's still, you know, 61 games left. And then a whole bunch of the packs. And the packs for 10 episodes is only $5 a pack.
And how much was the game originally, the whole thing?
Probably 50.
Oh, okay. So it's a normal price 60, game, but
yeah.
That's cool though.
But a lot of fun. Highly recommend.
Cool. It's a very well. I mean, I haven't seen this one, but the old ones were very well done. So if it's anything like those, it's definitely worth getting.
There's also remember the Dis or That? Like it'll flash something up, and you got to pick whether it's this thing or that thing.
Right.
They had one. It was either brands of ranch salad dressing or or prostitution houses in Vegas. So, like, there was Hidden Valley Ranch, and then there was, like, the
Mustang
Bunny
Ranch. Yeah, right. That's really funny.
And then at the end, you know, there's some crude humor in it.
Yeah.
It's definitely not for kids.
It's not for kids.
No. And then he says at the end, he goes, and with either of these, if you smell blue cheese, then, you know, demand your money back.
That's horrible.
So, a lot of fun.
That's horrible.
I mean, it's just,
The only thing that I've played is I played the beta of a game called Sanctum that I got on Steam. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. It's a first-person tower defense game. So you, in the one level that's available in the beta, you're on this bridge and you can put down blocks, you know, like little tower things, and then put weapons in them of different types, or you can put this little elevator transporter thing in to let you kind of jump around the field. But then you also have three different types of weapons. And at the beginning of each round, you know, all these creatures come in from the wilderness and try to attack the thing that's behind you called the core, and you're trying to keep them from getting there. So I played the first beta of it last week, and I thought it was a little bit too easy. And then I noticed the other day that there was a, because it seemed like some of the tower and weapon defense systems were not implemented yet. Mm-hmm. And same with some of the weapons that you, you know, could carry, that they weren't implemented yet. So I thought it was a little too easy. So then I saw the other day that there was an update for it. So I downloaded that and started playing it. And it was definitely a little bit harder. And then it got a lot harder as I realized there was one type of enemy that for some reason you can't kill. So it's just
Not good in a game.
No. So I couldn't, you can't get past like, I forget whatever, like the eighth round or something, because that round has like 50 of those guys. And then they all get to the core and the game's over. So hopefully there will be a new beta of it soon. But it looks like it could be kind of fun. So it's kind of like, in some ways, a Plants vs. Zombies kind of thing, but first person, and you can also switch to an overhead view, so you can...
I don't think I've ever played a tower defense game other than Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, and I don't think that's really a tower defense game in the classical sense of it either. Okay. And this seems like...
What would you call it, then? Like, real-time
strategy? I don't know.
Why wouldn't it be tower defense?
Well, the tower defense games I've seen before were... You know, your tower was sort of in the middle or one part of the playfield, and things came at you from all sides, whereas that's kind of linear, you know?
All right.
It's keeping them from getting from one side to the other.
An object.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, it is, but it's, you know, that's such a great game.
I think you need to change your...
Okay, don't worry about that. Yeah. But that's the only thing I've played. I played like 5 minutes of World of Warcraft, but I just haven't had time. Been so busy.
You know what's coming up before the next podcast we do?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
Portal 2. And you know what's so crazy is I'm seeing billboards for it everywhere.
Everywhere. I see entire sides of buses. And
I'm
so excited for that.
That's, what's say, 12 days.
I haven't been that excited about a game for a while.
Yeah, that's going to be really great. I can't wait. Yeah.
And if only they would do more. As a reminder, I brought this up in a previous episode, but for those of you that have a PS3 and a 360, only the PS3 version has where you can also... play it, you get a free copy from Steam to play on your Mac or your PC. But that's only included if you buy the PS3 version,
so if I buy
the 360 version.
Oh, you said the other way around a minute ago.
Oh, I meant the PS3 version.
So the PS3 version gives you both versions.
Right. The 360 version does not.
That's rude.
It's weird, actually, because, you know, Valve was only making those Left 4 Dead games for the 360.
Well, not only that, but the 360 is Microsoft and the PC is Microsoft. But...
Yeah. No, it's just PS3.
Wow. Wow. Might have to get one of those PS3s at one point. I hear it does everything.
Done. I'm done trying to convince you.
Finally, you're done. Thank goodness.
No, you should get it. It's really good.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
You ready for some miscellaneous?
Yes, please.
BioWare is rewarding gamers who purchased Dragon Age 2 with a free version of Mass Effect 2 for the PC. It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. What would really be rewarding is getting their money back.
Oh! Oh, do you think that's like an apology? This game sucks. Here's a good game.
Well, I couldn't even play the first one. I mean, I can't even imagine what the second one's like.
Yeah. I started to play it and then I just...
It was just so
boring. You
know
what? I have too many games right now.
Yeah.
And with Portal 2 coming out, like, I've got to finish a couple of the games I have. I still haven't finished Enslaved, which I'm still enjoying.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished Killzone 3. I have...
You got a lot
of
stuff.
I do. I got a lot on my plate right now.
You're juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah. Anyway, the next LEGO game franchise will be the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy.
Oh. Obviously, they're not counting on the fourth one being that great, since they're not including it. Don't you think, especially with the timing, that it would have made more sense to do it?
Well, maybe they'll do what they did with the...
And do another one after. Right. Yeah.
It looks like we'll be seeing a new...
By the way, can we just talk about that? Does that not look terrible from the previews?
I haven't even seen the preview.
It looks really bad. Brandon, you saw it? The preview? It looks terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks awful.
The Penelope Cruz.
The Penelope. What is that from where somebody called somebody named Penelope, they kept calling her Penelope? What is that from? Is that from Princess Bride?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
It looks like we'll be seeing a new Burnout game soon.
Oh, that's
There are
nice.
No details available yet on Burnout Crash, which is its name.
Okay.
But some are speculating that it'll be a downloadable game rather than a full retail version.
Huh. Interesting.
From what I read in this one article, and it's all speculation, they believe, remember the crash mode in like Burnout Revenge where you would...
Yes.
It was a certain setup and you tried to crash as many cars as possible. They think it's just going to be like that.
Oh, that wasn't that
fun. I loved that. You
really?
Like that? Oh, I love that.
Well, because you're not really driving. You're just button mashing until you crash a lot of buses and stuff.
Yeah, but you had to figure out like when to, like what car to crash at what angle to make it a domino effect.
Here's why I didn't like that. Because if it was purely a puzzle game, which is essentially what it is.
Right.
I would have liked it, but it's not because you can't control the traffic and you have no idea what's going to be there. And you can't even necessarily control where you go when you bounce in your crash.
Yeah, but
I mean, you can't
the traffic isn't random. It's the same traffic.
Every time?
Every time, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh. I still didn't think it was that great. It was my least favorite part of Burnout Revenge.
Oh, I liked it. This is another sign that the music game genre is just about dead. Rock Band 3 has just been discounted to $20 for
That's
both
cheap.
The 360 and the PS3.
Yeah, I've
just
never
came out
owned
at the end of
a single
year.
One of any of those games.
I enjoy them, but you know, once you played one,
yeah,
I mean, they're the same. It's just
I take that back. I did have Pan Flute Hero for a while, but I sold it pretty quickly. Well, there was only two songs.
Right.
they were both by Zamfir. You know, Master of the Pan Flute.
This is really weird. Farmville developer Zynga has just added DreamWorks' Jeffrey Katzenberg to its board of directors. The next game they will be working on is Shrekville for Facebook.
So what, are they going to take Farmville and just swap out all the graphics?
I imagine.
You know that's what they're going to do. Wow. Okay.
And finally, DC Universe is getting an update featuring Batman villain Two-Face. I have to go back to that as well because it keeps taking $15.
You have to go back to World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that'll be a while before I do that. You know, I don't like to play on the computer. But
anyway.
But you know, DC Universe, I still keep paying for, so I need to play it if I'm going to pay for it.
Probably be a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's all I have.
That's all you got?
Yep.
That's all I got too. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're gonna talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. What do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with Top Chef so we can get this out of the way.
Okay. All right, so first of all, let's talk about who won. Richard Blaise won.
Right.
Very, very happy that he won.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that I don't like Mike, but he became so cocky towards the end of the season that, like, if he hadn't done that, if he had stayed the same...
See, that's what I feel about Richard. I think Richard, at the end, when he was like, I'm not expecting to win, although through the whole thing... I mean, first of all, when he first came on, he said he should have won his season. He shouldn't have won his season. And totally screwed up the last meal.
Right, he did.
But then he came on, and, like, you know, all he talked about was how, you know, he had to win this. And then at the end, he's like, oh, I don't think I'm going to win. Like,
well, it wasn't just right at the end. It was at least the last third of the season that he was saying that.
All right. I just noticed it at the end.
Yeah.
But but if anyone was cocky, I think it was Richard. I mean, I think he felt he deserved it.
I don't know. I didn't get that. But Mike would, like, out and out say it, you know? Like, I don't know.
Well, let's be honest, though. At the end, Mike was winning everything.
Yeah, he was. No, I mean, he did great. And what was crazy about that?
And to be honest, of all the food that they made, I'd much rather eat Mike's than Richard's.
I would definitely agree with that in the last meal, what they showed. I mean, now, of course, none of us are there.
Right.
And, you know, we can't taste it and anything. But the food that he made, the way that it was described, sounded more like stuff I would want to eat. Mostly because Richard made a lot of seafood. And I don't really like seafood. But that pork shoulder with pepperoni sauce sounded incredible. I want to try pork shoulder with pepperoni sauce. Can't even imagine what that tastes like, but I bet you it's fantastic. But yeah, that I thought the last episode was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also liked and didn't like the whole thing that they did where they had to pick their sous chefs based on the food that they made without knowing who made what.
Oh, I did like that. You don't like that?
I thought it was cool, but then I don't know. There's something inherently unfair about that whole process.
No, I disagree. I think that made it fairer.
How does that make it fairer? It's not like it's...
Well, because you know what each of those chefs, what their strong skills are and how it matches what you're making. So it would, whoever got the first pick could have picked someone that gave them a huge advantage.
No. I'm saying having those people be their sous chefs at all, I'm saying, is not fair.
Oh,
I don't mean the way
okay.
they chose
oh, okay.
them.
Okay.
I never like that in the last thing because they could ruin you.
Right.
You know, when it counts the most, they could right. absolutely ruin
no,
you.
No, I agree with
they
that.
They could sabotage you. They could do whatever. They could absolutely ruin you. And it didn't seem like there was anything like that going on. I mean, even things like, you know, Richard got Antonia. She's Mike's cousin, you know. So there could have been some shenanigans there. But
yeah,
and like
but
you
you've
said, she
put,
had just lost, you
right.
know, so.
You've got to put faith in, you yeah. know. The human spirit.
Okay. This coming from the most cynical man I know.
What?
I'm just kidding. Second most.
And then last night, I believe it was last night, they showed the Top Chef All-Stars. No, not All-Stars. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, All-Stars.
All-Stars. Reunion special.
Right.
I was confusing it with Top Chef Masters, which also started last night. Oh, you are the worst at taping things.
I cannot believe
it started last
we
night.
Missed it. Was it good? Did you watch it?
I didn't
it?
Watch it yet.
Oh. No.
But in the reunion, you know, it was fun. It was light. But there was one thing where Elia, I remember she
yeah.
was the first voted off, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, she was the first to go.
She kind of gets into it with Tom, and it was she questioned his integrity. And it started off with him using, like, not using enough farmer market stuff and, like, using corn-fed beef instead of grass-fed or blah, blah, blah. But then it got to the point where she criticized him for doing Diet Coke commercials.
Now, wait a second. Why did she start talking about that in the first place? As it was it?
Oh, no, she it, made no. It she had was interviewed in an article and made those statements. So they confronted her about it while he was sitting there.
Oh, I see.
She
now, who did Andy Cohen or whatever
yeah,
his name is?
Who God, I hate more than anyone in the
jerk.
World.
Okay. I don't. Now, we talked about this a little bit before we started this segment. I don't see that doing Diet Coke commercials brings his integrity into question in the least. He's a chef. He doesn't make.
Okay, let me put it something completely different. Let's take Diet Coke out of it. What if he did? What if he did? Well, I'm trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of a car. What's a real low end car?
But you can't say that about Diet Coke. It's the number one diet soda in the entire
world.
But
it's soda.
It doesn't matter.
Soda doesn't.
No. It doesn't matter. You said.
It is low end. It has
no
place.
No. Wait a second. You said low end car. You cannot.
Soda is low end.
What
when
I'm saying is
within the food industry, soda is low end.
Within the spectrum of soda, you cannot say Diet Coke is low end.
But soda as a whole is low end.
But that has nothing to do with
it
food.
It certainly does. Yes, he runs very high-end gourmet
and
food.
Okay.
And then he's doing a commercial for... Okay, what if he... Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's take soda
have
out of
have you ever been to a five-star restaurant?
Absolutely.
Did they serve Coke products there?
They don't... If you want it, it's there, but they're
okay,
not pushing it on you.
But that's not the point. That's
it
not
certainly
the point.
Is the point.
No, because you're saying that it's beneath
you can also
what
get a
does.
Cheeseburger at a five-star restaurant.
Well, it better be a damn good cheeseburger. Better be a five-star cheeseburger. That doesn't
my
mean
my point is soda is low end when it comes to
now,
five-star restaurants. Soda, they're not. They're you know.
But
they
it
have
has nothing to do with the food. It has nothing to do with the food.
It has
if
to do with the level of the restaurants and the food that he makes
yeah.
is at the highest level.
Okay,
and then he's doing a commercial for Diet Coke, which soda is it's lower class.
It's not lower class.
It is.
It's not. Okay, if you drink soda, you cannot say that Diet Coke is low class. It is the highest class diet soda that you can get.
That's like saying if you eat.
Don't use cheeseburgers because.
If you eat cereal.
Okay.
Frosted Mini Wheats is at the top of cereal. Cereal is cereal.
Well, wait
soda
a minute.
Soda is soda.
No. Oh, okay. First of all, that's absolutely not true. There are definitely places you go that do not use name brand soda. They use like an off-brand soda,
but
and
I'm
it
saying
absolutely...
soda as a whole has no place in.
But he's
fine
not doing
dining.
A commercial for fine dining. He's doing a commercial
but
for soda.
But that's what he's representing is fine dining.
No, he's not. No, he's
absolutely,
not.
He's a chef. He's a fine dining chef.
No, you're absolutely wrong.
What is he then?
He is a chef, but soda has nothing to do with his work. It has nothing to do with his work.
No, but I think it takes
like,
away from his work that he's doing a soda commercial.
I don't know. He said he drinks Diet Coke. Are you going to tell him he's not a good chef because he drinks Diet Coke?
No, not at all. I mean,
so then what's the problem? What's the problem? I mean, that's like saying that like, you know, a major league sports personality who does a commercial for Coke is also degrading their profession because he's doing a commercial for Coke. It could be
that's different.
It could be Michael Jordan, the number one, you know, at the time that he was at his peak, the number one athlete in his entire profession. And if he does,
but soda is still part of the food world.
Right. And if you look
at Michael Jordan's not part of the food world.
Right, but if you look at soda as a product line, there's no way you can say that Diet Coke is low rent.
Soda is low rent.
If it was that low rent, then people wouldn't serve it at nice restaurants. There's no way you can say that because people drink it.
Absolutely. You know what? I stand by it. I'm not going to change my opinion.
Now, if, for instance, a famous chef.
He should be doing a commercial for like champagne, like a high-end champagne or a high-end vodka. That's what he should be doing a commercial for, not for soda, any soda.
Well, they have nothing to do with each other. They have nothing to
do with it. They certainly have to. They're part of the food world.
Right. I understand that. But you can't compare one of those products to another one of those products because they're completely different product groups.
No, in the world of fine dining, champagne is much more accepted than a Diet Coke. I'll tell you, if you go somewhere, here's the thing. You go to a five-star restaurant, you think there's a can of Coke or a bottle of Coke sitting on your table?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, that's my point, is that it's like, it's frowned upon.
There's also not a Lamborghini sitting on the table.
Oh, my God. Lamborghini isn't part of the food world.
No. Okay. So
I'm saying in this food world, okay, soda's at the bottom.
What's the best dessert in the entire world? When I get into the restaurant, that's probably not sitting on the table either. That's a terrible
example.
If
you order it, it's sitting on the table. If you order a
Diet
Coke.
Just like if I order a Diet Coke, it will come to the table.
The bottle and can won't.
That's not a fair analysis.
It certainly is.
No, okay. What brand of dessert would you compare that to?
Well, I would hope the dessert was made in the five-star restaurant.
Okay, but that's the point. It's a completely different thing because chefs don't make soft drinks.
It's part of the food world.
No, chefs don't make soft drinks. They make food. If he was doing a commercial for McDonald's, then I would absolutely give him a hard time. Even though I like McDonald's, I think they make a fine fast food
cheeseburger.
We're
not going to agree on this. So let's
just I don't think it has anything to do.
It certainly does.
It does not call into question his ability as a chef whatsoever.
No, but it takes away some of his panache.
I don't see it at all.
I tell you, some of the higher chefs, you'll never see Eric Repair doing a Coke commercial.
What if he did one out of the country? Then would it be okay? Because, you know, a lot of celebrities who don't do commercials here do them outside the U.S.
I still think it would take away from, if he's doing a Coke commercial, no matter where he's doing it, I think it takes away from his panache as a top chef.
I disagree. I mean, that's like saying, well, if you're a good chef, then you can't like something that.
I mean, yeah, here's my opinion. Diet Coke may be served at fine dining restaurants, but I don't think they have a place in fine dining restaurants. And I think him being known for...
But what about people who don't drink alcohol and don't want water? What are they going to drink?
I don't think they should drink soda. If you're having...
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Really, I think the flavor of the soda would take away from the flavor...
But that's an individual thing.
I think any top chef would tell you that. They would be insulted if you were drinking a Diet Coke with their meal. I'm sure of it.
What about people who can't drink?
Then they should be drinking water or something.
So now
else.
You're telling people how they should eat and drink.
I'm just saying.
But that's what you're saying. You're saying you should not do this if you're going to eat that food. That's what you're saying. I'm telling you how to eat and
drink. Do whatever you want. But
but then you can't make that argument.
But
because that's what you said. You said if you're eating in a five-star restaurant, you should not be allowed to drink soda.
I didn't say you should not be allowed. I'm just saying, I think it takes away from the food. If you're drinking a Diet Coke with some delicate piece of, you know, exotic fish in some delicate sauce, and then you drink it with a Diet Coke, absolutely, I think it's wrong.
But
I'm not saying you can't do it or don't do it. But I think it takes away from the integrity of the dish.
But you could make that argument about anything because everybody's taste buds react different to things. Some people are...
Right. Some people like French fries. Some people don't like that delicate piece of fish. They want a cheeseburger.
No, but what I'm saying
is... Those aren't the people I'm talking about.
But what I'm saying... No, you can't say that because you can't say that anybody with a more... what's the word
advanced
they use?
Palate.
Well, advanced is not the word they usually use. What's the word they usually use? I forget. But okay. Somebody with a more advanced palate, they are still going to taste... Bitter things, salty things, sweet things, blah, 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 whatever, differently than anybody else who has an advanced palate. It's totally personal. It's totally individual for each person. So what I'm saying is the interaction between the alcohol level, the tannins, whatever flavors and nuances are in a glass of wine are going to interact totally differently with the food for you than they are for the guy sitting next to you.
But that's not, yeah, but that doesn't mean that there are wines that go with certain foods and wines that don't go with certain foods. Yeah, you can pick the wine that doesn't go with the food.
And then people will drink water with lime or lemon or something else, and that's going to change the flavor of stuff too. So okay, what difference does it make?
We're not going to agree on this.
I'm just saying it's an invalid point.
It's completely valid. Diet Coke has nowhere to be. When you're talking that level of food, Diet Coke has nowhere, has
but
no place with it.
Doesn't he also own, aren't some of his restaurants like sandwich places?
I don't know.
Well, see, you're making an argument about something you don't even know about.
But I'm saying it's taking, if he wants, here's the thing. If he wants
so
to
let
be
me
known
ask you a question.
As one of the top chefs in the country, one of the finest chefs in the country.
Well, is he known as that? He's known as the head judge of Top Chef.
Yeah, well, don't you think that the head judge of Top Chef should be one of the finest chefs in the country? If he just owns sandwich places, he's not a very credible judge, is he?
Well, I didn't say he only owns sandwich places, but he does own a sandwich place. I know that, at least one.
But that's not what he's known for.
No, I don't know what he's known for other than Top Chef. And that's the reason that he was asked to do the commercials in the first place, because he's on Top Chef, not because of who he is as a chef himself.
I don't know.
He's a celebrity.
I have to agree with her.
I totally disagree with her. And she's a sour grapes crazy person anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, so there's that.
I mean,
there's that. But I think her point is valid. And there are other people who are sitting in the audience who thought her point was valid as well.
Yeah.
She wasn't just alone in her argument.
That doesn't
against
mean they're
her.
Right.
No.
I'm totally
but,
disagree.
I mean,
yeah. All right. Let's hear what you people
now you got
think.
Me all worked up.
All right. So anyway, you want to talk about American Idol?
Yeah, but I don't want to go like singer by singer by singer.
No, that's fine. Last night was awesome.
I thought it was great. I thought everyone was good.
Everyone was good.
Least.
Yeah, everyone was good.
There were a couple people, though, I was a little disappointed with. I really think Jordan has the ability to be in the top three.
Who?
Jordan.
Who's Jordan?
Is that her name? Lauren.
Lauren. Okay.
Okay, maybe she's a little forgettable. Why'd I call her Jordan?
I don't know.
Lauren is who I met. See, you got me all worked up.
I didn't do anything.
Can't even think straight. But a couple times in the past few weeks, she's a little lackluster. She's good.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Last week she was phenomenal.
Last week she was phenomenal, yeah. But the week before she was just okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I think she I mean, it was pretty obvious.
Age plays into it. Definitely.
It was pretty obvious what happened with her. She comes in, she's a very great natural singer.
Talent.
She is
natural talent. Yeah.
Not only as a singer, but as a performer. She's got a great personality. She's bubbly, vivacious, all that kind of stuff. So she comes in thinking this is, to a certain extent, going to be a bit of a cakewalk. And then she gets her first negative comments from everybody 1 week. And I think that really, crushed her in a sense. And so I think it took her a few weeks to get back in stride again. But, I mean, last week she was phenomenal. I thought she was really great last night.
Did
again.
You?
Yeah.
Because I just thought it was okay.
I'll tell you what I didn't like was her outfit. Her and Pia. Man, did they shop at the idiot clothing store?
I don't remember what they were wearing.
Oh, Pia was wearing like a parachute with a belt.
What if she had just flown in?
Maybe she had. But, yeah, I thought everyone did a good job last night. I think it's going to be – okay, so who do you think is going to go tonight? I think it's going
to
be
– I think it's between – I hope to God it's Paul, but I think it's going to be.
It's not going to be Paul after last night. He did great last night.
Well, I think he's still being in the bottom three. He was in the bottom three last week.
Well, I think somebody good is going to be in the bottom three every week from this point forward.
Stefano, maybe?
I think it might be between Stefano and maybe even Jacob.
No way. Jacob was great last night.
Yeah, but
no,
I don't get
no,
the
no.
sense that he has.
I think Jacob would be in the top three.
You think
Absolutely.
So?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the reason I think he might not be. He's so kind of gospel-y that I think, you know, if American Idol's core audience is little girls, I think that's
is
not.
Is it? I thought it was like middle-aged women.
No. No, it's young girls.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Is there a way to find that?
I don't know.
Is there a way to Google that?
Yeah, look up American Idol demographics, I guess. I was under the impression that it was young girls. But anyway, you know, those people who choose to sing in that vein week after week after week have traditionally not gone all the way to the end on American Idol. Remember Lakeisha? She was phenomenal, but she did the same thing and she left pretty early.
I wouldn't compare the two. I think he's a little more modern than Lakeisha was.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, he was really great. I mean, everyone was good last night. I don't think. In fact, I think
James, no one was bad.
I think James was probably the worst, and he was still good.
Right. James might be in the bottom this week. I don't think he'll go home, but
I don't know. So many people like him. Doesn't Scotty look like Alfred E. Newman?
I thought Scotty was his best last night.
And George Bush.
I definitely see the Alfred E. Newman. I thought he was his best last night.
Yeah, he was great last night. But that's also because you're not a huge country fan, are you?
No.
And he didn't sing country last night. But he seems like he's getting a little cocky. Don't you think?
No.
You know what's the other thing, too? I was entirely annoyed last night by people shouting in the audience. It was like all during the entire episode. Didn't you find that irritating? People randomly yelling stuff out while the judges were talking.
Yeah. You know, I want to mention one thing from last week, because we haven't met since then, that I hated so much, and it was so ridiculous. That thing with Hulk Hogan when he fake hit
Ryan
Seacrest.
That was so stupid.
That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on that show.
Yeah, that was so dumb. He should have really hit him. Don't you think? They just clocked him one. I think Hulk Hogan could have taken him.
Yeah.
Did you find anything?
No, I found demographics about like all the winners.
Why is there I'm seeing your iPad at an angle here.
Yeah.
Why is there like one spot where there's like a perfect vertical line where it looks like you've been running your finger over and over?
From this.
Oh, okay. Case. Okay. I gotcha.
This is not a visual podcast,
no,
so
just,
let's discuss that when we're not
right,
recording.
Sounds good. Fine. Is that one of those cases that you could attach that thing to so that it could stick to the wall? That's a pretty good idea.
Why would you want to stick it to the wall?
Well, what if you want to stick it in the kitchen? Then you can get instant access to recipes and stuff like that. Just leave it there. Like if you don't want to get rid of your old iPad, but you're getting the iPad 2 kind of thing. Do you already have a buyer for your iPad?
I do.
Yeah. What are you selling it for?
I'll tell you off the air.
What? Why?
Because I don't discuss money matters on the podcast.
Okay, whatever. What else? What else have you been watching? What the?
Wait. So I've been watching. Yes.
Okay.
What
go ahead.
Looking at?
Mildred Pierce.
Yes.
What is that?
It's
wasn't that a movie?
It was a movie back like in the 30s or 40s with Joan Crawford.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they just redid it on HBO as a miniseries
with
Kate Winslet and Guy Pierce. Absolutely amazing.
Wow, I didn't even hear about that. I would have watched it because I love Kate Winslet.
It's amazing. And she's, oh my God, I can't say enough good things about this. I would say that this is better. It's a 5-part miniseries. The first 2 parts aired last week. The third part aired this week. And then, the next 2 weeks.
I get it.
And you can get them on demand. Well, I don't know how your on demand works, but I know
it doesn't really.
on Comcast, they're all on there as well. This is better than any movie I've seen in the last year.
Wow.
Easily.
Wow.
And the quality, like, it's directed by Todd Haynes, who did Far From Heaven with
Julianne
Moore.
He was on Different Strokes, right?
No.
Oh, that was Todd Burgess. Never mind.
Far From Heaven was his big movie. He did with Julianne Moore and Dennis Quaid.
I wouldn't
and
have
Dennis
seen
Haysbert.
That.
Yeah. I know you don't like Julianne Moore.
I do like Dennis Quaid and Dennis Haysbert.
This takes place in the 30s, and it's just like you totally feel like you're in that time.
Yeah.
And it's so smartly written. It's based on the book rather than just a remake
of the
old movie.
Yeah.
It is great so far. Like really better than any movie I've seen.
So they're faking American accents then? Or
yeah.
Okay. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Kate Winslet in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
She
brilliant
is one of the best actresses
of our
we
day.
Have.
Yeah. She is really, really talented.
And will certainly win an Emmy for this.
And she's quite dishy, too. So there's that.
And there's a lot of... You see her naked a few times.
Really? I haven't seen that since
the old...
In fact,
you actually see them... There's a couple sex scenes between the two of them.
Really?
That you'd be surprised if they were not actually having sex.
She's she just recently got divorced, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was she married to?
Sam Mendes.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. American Beauty?
Yes.
Yeah. Why'd they get divorced? They just didn't like each other anymore.
I don't know them.
You weren't there.
I don't know.
Is she getting involved with Guy Pierce now that they've had sex on the TV?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know them.
Okay. I'm just asking.
But I admire their work.
How are they doing, by the way?
Let's move on. Okay. Anyway, if
really
someone
good.
Has a chance to, or if someone's been watching it, let me know. But if someone has a chance to see the ones that have already aired, certainly see it because it's amazing.
I hate it when I miss these things because you know they're not going to replay it again. I'm going to have to wait and like.
No,
get the
I think
DVD.
They'll replay them. I think once they've aired all of them, they'll show them all.
Oh, really? Because a lot of times they just don't do that, and then you got to buy.
I mean,
the
it's
DVDs.
Only 5 episodes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think they'll air them all in a row.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know if they do that, because it really is astounding.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Do you know the story?
Well, I saw the movie. I don't remember it.
Same story. Yeah. just did you happen to see last week that show that was on after the Idol results show, Mobbed, with Howie Mandel?
No.
It was all about staging a flash mob?
No.
This guy was... I think they just put it on to test it to see if they're going to make it a show, because it did get picked up. It is going to be a show.
Okay.
But it's where they stage a flash mob. In this case, it was a guy who wanted to propose to his girlfriend. And his girlfriend is always kind of jealous and doesn't think that he thinks that much about her.
Right.
Or, you know, she questions how much he actually loves her. So he wanted to prove to her how much he loves her by doing this huge staged, you know, dance thing to propose to her. It was really good. And yeah. I was really genuinely moved by it.
That's cool. And so was it just like one story per episode kind of thing?
Okay. And it was a whole hour. In fact, after
a while, that seems
kind
of long.
You just want to get to the
Yeah, I think half an hour might be a better format, do you think?
I mean, it was entertained through the whole thing, but you start to get antsy. You just want to see it.
Right.
But it turned out it was 1,000 people
wow.
doing this like choreographed dance, and it was cool and it was very touching.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are going to be others where I think they mentioned like someone has some like news for their parents and they're going to do it like flash mob style. And like,
I couldn't even do that for my parents. They would just be utterly confused.
Well, that's what's really what
walk
was
away
funny
rolling
about this
their eyes.
Was they went out to dinner. They thought they were going to like a premiere of a movie. And so they go out to dinner and then just to kind of rub it in her, you know, to put her in a mood, this girl comes up and acts like
she's flirting kind of.
Right. Yeah. Or that she had dated him before.
I gotcha.
And so she throws
she
a drink
his key
on
back.
Him. And so then the girl who's going to be proposed to gets all upset. And she's like, what are you doing here? You know, this better not be a joke because this isn't funny. You know, she starts to cry and she's all upset. And then it turned out.
I probably wouldn't watch that show. It seems like an hour seems like way too long. I don't think I can handle it.
Okay. Well, then don't watch.
Yeah. Besides, you know, I'm just not into the dancing. So,
Well, it's not always dancing. I think sometimes it's singing.
What, playing chess? 1,000 people playing chess.
Anyway, Celebrity Apprentice, are you still not watching that?
Still not watching
that. I can't believe you're not watching that.
Is it good?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Just stars losing it.
Yeah. Has LaToya Jackson had any more surgery since last week?
No, but
AKA Skeletor.
Actually, there was a touching moment with her in this last one, but Meatloaf loses it.
Like touching?
No.
Honk, honk.
Meatloaf loses it.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Against who?
Worse than I've ever seen anyone lose it on anyone in the world.
To who?
To Gary Busey.
Well, that's not shocking.
But he comes back and apologizes later. But it's so funny because he's been so mild-mannered and so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, up until that moment, I'm just like, oh, he's such a nice, nice man. And then he just goes nuts. And then you find out, like...
Was it justified, though, do you think?
No, he thought Gary Busey had stolen some of his stuff. They were supposed to create art, and he thought he had stolen his paints. But as it turns out, like, he just couldn't find his paints. His paints were on the floor.
Okay.
And so, like, he just loses it on him. He doesn't believe that he didn't take it.
Right.
So then he finds it, and, like, even then, he's so worked up that, like, he doesn't come right down.
Right.
He's still, like, you know, a mess. So at the end, he apologizes and says that he's been through anger management and, like, obviously he needs a little more.
Got to go through it again.
But, you know, that's what makes that show entertaining.
Getting another ticket for that ride pretty soon.
And you know how much they raised between the two teams? They raised for their charities $1.6 million.
What?
Right?
How'd they do that?
Just
calling
celebrities.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, the thing is, don't they always do a thing like that on that show?
Oh,
every
just about
season?
Just about every other.
Episode?
With the celebrities, just about every other episode is.
Oh, okay. Because you know they've got to have prearranged all their, you know, calling in
yeah,
their favors.
They do.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
And Richard Hatch went home, which is surprising. I thought he would have made it a little further.
He's irritating.
Yeah. And the reason he got sent home is because.
He's irritating?
Well, no, he doesn't have any celebrity friends.
Oh, so he couldn't raise any money.
So he couldn't raise any money.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's why he went home.
Awesome.
Again.
That's why I would go home if I was on that show.
I'd give $20.
Woohoo!
Again, Being Human.
Your favorite is.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And it really seems like there have been a lot of episodes. I fear that the end is coming soon.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know when it is.
Ah.
But.
You could probably just look that up.
Yeah. but I don't want to know the answer.
No, I don't have that for you.
I want to mention one other thing that I've been watching. I had mentioned before that I watched this like reunion panel with the stars of Freaks and Geeks and the stars of Declared. Okay. And I never seen Declared, so I ordered the DVDs. And so I've watched half of them, half the episodes already, and it's really good. It's really quality comedy.
Yeah. I wonder why shows like that don't do well.
I don't know.
Like, I'm almost surprised.
I think it was just the time.
Yeah.
I think it was the time.
Yeah. I'm almost surprised that, you know, Modern Family has done as well as it has, because usually smart comedies don't do that right. well. It's weird.
Meanwhile, Two and a Half Men is on for, you know, 10 years. According to Jim, is on for like 10 years.
Yeah, that is so weird. That is so weird. We actually started watching the British version of Being Human, and I didn't really care for the first episode that much.
Yeah.
You know, we'll,
is it because it's British?
No, I usually like British shows. Yeah. But I know it was kind of boring. Like, I can't really see.
Well, this one is definitely not boring.
I can't really see, like, where it's going to go that'll make it interesting. Like, in the first episode, you know, find out right away that, you know, there's the, what, the vampire, the werewolf, and the ghost.
Right.
Right? They walk into a bar. No, wait, that's later. And
they do, actually.
Oh, yeah. They do, actually, yeah. They all live together, and the girl who's the ghost, like, her boyfriend happens to be the landlord of the place where they live. Is it the same on the U.S.
Yep.
one? So,
yeah, tell me what's happened, just, and I'll tell you how it compares.
Okay, so,
although I would imagine the first couple episodes are probably, you know, the same.
Yeah, so, okay, so what did we find out? We found out that somebody was killing people, and it turned out to be, I think it was the werewolf guy, had killed a girl who was a friend of theirs, or something like that.
Okay, that's already.
Or maybe it was the vampire or something. Killed some girl. Oh, no, it was the vampire. He turned this girl who they were all friends with. And the other two didn't know that he had done that. And so now that girl is trying to make the vampire guy's life miserable because she's not mad at him, but there's some reason.
No, that's different.
That she wants him to be miserable. And so she starts, like, messing with him. Like, he's trying to date this girl who he works with at the hospital. And
the vampire is?
The vampire?
That's who you're talking about? The vampire's trying to date the girl at the hospital?
Yeah.
That's so weird, because it's the werewolf on The American.
Well, the werewolf likes her, but she's always flirting with the vampire, and she asks him on a date.
That'll be interesting to watch that then, because I thought it was just going to be, you know,
the same thing.
Very much the same, but already it's completely different.
And so then they find out that, you know, the vampire had turned this girl who was all a friend of theirs, and so they were, like, mad at him and stuff. And then meanwhile, the ghost girl is, like, trying to get to where other people can see her, because it, like, works sometimes, but she can't really fully control it. And so she actually fake texts her boyfriend from the werewolf's phone to get him to come to the house to fix something.
So different.
And he shows up, and she's all upset because he can't see her. And then she's really upset because he's with this girl that was always flirting with him before she died. And they're like a couple now. And
that's so weird. See, in the American one, he's with her best friend.
Yeah, that's the same kind of thing.
You know, one thing I want to say about the American one, it's probably been like between eight and 10 episodes so far.
Yeah.
And just now, like with this last episode, finally, the ghost is in like an interesting
storyline.
Yeah. Because really, what can you do with a ghost? I mean, the other two are so much more exciting than the ghost.
Yeah.
The ghost storyline was always so boring, but now her storyline's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was kind of boring. It was like, I didn't love any of the characters.
There's nothing boring about the American one.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, you know how
right.
I really have to be sucked in to love
something. I definitely want to see it, you know, now watching this one. And I do want to watch the rest of the season of this. Just to see what it's all about.
I wonder if they do like a marathon once they've aired them all.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm telling you, though, you got to get back into Fringe. You got to get back into it and try to get caught up. The show is so good.
Are we on to miscellaneous?
No, because I haven't talked about my TV shows other than that.
Well,
Chopped All Stars finished up. Uh-huh. You know, there was the one with the four chefs who are judges, and Aaron Sanchez won. And so he went on to compete in the, you know, as one of the four people in the finals.
Now, when the judges were eating their food, were they drinking Diet Coke along with it?
They never show them drinking anything, as a matter of fact. Although, I will say,
interesting.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, because Diet Coke goes with everything. It's perfect.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Go ahead.
I like the way you try to make an issue out of something that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So he actually ended up being one of the final two
uh-huh.
and in the last show. And we're like, well, there's no way he's going to win. There's no way they're going to pick him to win because that would seem totally unfair. And sure enough, he didn't win. But I will say, the guy's name, Kelsey, what was the guy's name who won? Nate. That's right. Yeah, Nate.
What's his deal?
I don't know. He's just like some famous chef. Well, because it, what? Oh, yeah.
Iron Chef,
yeah.
That's the most annoying show ever.
I can't watch it. It's beyond irritating. It's like the Max Headroom of food shows.
Like, it really is.
It's so irritating. And just like frenetic. I can't stand it. But yeah, so this guy Nate won. But let me say this. Aaron Sanchez, hilarious. When, you know, because he got to be himself because he was cooking instead of judging, he is really, really funny. Really funny.
Is he? Because he always seems like kind of a jerk when he's the judge.
Really? He always seems like one of the nicest ones.
You think so?
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, I think they all seem like jerks.
Here are the worst ones. Mark Zakarian, definitely the worst. Scott Conan, next worst. Then Chris Santos and Aaron Sanchez, I think, usually are pretty nice.
What about the girl? She's usually not so nice.
Which one? Alex or Amanda?
I don't know. Little heavy.
Well,
straighter hair.
Both.
Okay.
Dark hair or kind of blondish hair?
Dark.
That's Alex. She didn't compete. Amanda did. It was Amanda, Mark Zakarian, Aaron Sanchez, and the Indian woman.
Chris Santos didn't compete?
No. No. The Indian woman who I've seen judge maybe twice.
Right.
I don't even know why she was there. I would rather have seen Scott Conant, you know, or Alex Guarnaschelli.
Right.
But yeah, Aaron Sanchez was really funny. And he made some amazing food. I mean, you know, again, it looked amazing.
Right.
But, yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then last night after Idol, we watched the premiere of Breaking In, which was the new Christian Slater show. And it was actually kind of funny. You know, it's like kind of geeky funny. But there were some actually very funny parts on it. And, you know, it's another one of those shows that right now we're kind of like, well, where can they go with this? You know, it doesn't seem like they can do a lot. But I think it's one of those shows where the premise really isn't that important. They'll work jokes into it somehow. But what was really funny last night was he was so the main guy.
So you would
guy,
consider it to be a comedy more than a drama.
It is a comedy. It's a half-hour comedy.
Oh, it's half-hour? Oh, I totally thought it was going to be something different.
No, it's billed as a half-hour comedy.
I thought it was like an action show.
There's action to it, but it's a half-hour comedy.
Oh.
So the main guy, I don't even know the actor's name, he is recruited by the company from college where he's making money breaking into the college's computer system and, you know, hacking stuff for people to get better grades and all that kind of stuff. So they recruit him, and the guy who actually helps recruit him has been pretending to be in one of his French classes. He doesn't realize that he actually works for this company. So now he works for the company that Christian Slater runs, and their job is to break into companies to test their security, just like in the movie Sneakers. And, well, I mean, it's a reference that a lot of people know. So so now Christian Slater wants to put the new guy in charge of this one thing where they're supposed to steal a Lamborghini from this car dealership who thinks that they have some security issues. And so the guy who was pretending to be in his French class, he was mad that the new guy got put as the lead on this job. And so he starts messing with him. And he's like, dude, the Mayfield Motors job should have been mine. And then later he says something else. You are totally going to screw up the Mayfield Motors job. So he plans out this whole thing. They go in to steal the car. And he comes back and the new guy's all bragging about it. He's like, yep, 5 minutes. I bet you that's a first. He goes, it is a first since I asked you to steal a car from Mayfair Motors. And you stole one from Mayfield Motors. Get the car back there without them knowing. And he's like really mad at him. And then he realizes that the other guy was like messing with him and like kind of put that in his head. So, you know, he has to deal with that. And then he has to return the car somehow. And it was actually kind of funny what they did.
That's cute.
But it was actually a funny show.
Are they able to fit Christian Slater's entire head on the screen? he has a big ass head. Did you see him on American Idol last night? He looked like a Macy's Day balloon.
My God, that's so rude.
Huge.
I like Christian Slater. I love that
you?
Show.
I don't.
I love that show that he was in, My Own Worst Enemy. I thought that was a great show, and I was really upset when it got canceled. And
He is my own worst enemy.
I really like him. He was pretty funny on this last night.
I liked him in Heathers.
I have never seen that.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. What about Pump Up the Volume?
Not so much.
And, of course, Chuck has still been awesome. Love the Chuck. What else? Fringe has still been awesome. I won't go over it because it's, you know.
Time for miscellaneous.
Yeah,
I say
sure,
that because I have Fringe.
Okay,
big
go.
Fringe news.
Yes.
Luke can breathe a big sigh of relief. Fringe has been renewed for a fourth season.
Woohoo!
Had you known that already?
Yes. I believe we talked about it on the phone.
No, last we were here, it was still up in the air.
No, I said, I think we talked about it on the phone.
I don't
and I posted something on our page.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Thanks for paying attention.
The season finale of The Office will be 1 hour long and feature a number of guest stars, including Catherine Tate, James Spader, and Ray Romano. And, of course, Will Ferrell.
Who's Catherine Tate again?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know who it was.
I know her.
They listed her as if she was someone.
I know her. James Spader, huh?
Yeah.
Can they fit any part of him on the screen?
He could never do a movie with Christian Slater.
No. No, that would just be too weird. Catherine Tate. I can almost picture her in my brain.
She's from the Catherine Tate Show. She must be British.
Let me see.
There's not even a picture of her.
Well, why don't you go to Google and do a search and go to the images
Doctor
tab.
Who? 17 episodes of Doctor Who?
Oh, that's right. She played, did it say who she played? She played, what's her name, right? She played.
That's exactly what it says.
What's
her
name?
Yeah.
Yeah, she played,
Donna Noble.
Donna, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, she's funny. She's very funny.
Well,
and very British.
She's coming to, and also Ricky Gervais will be on it, and Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, sure, there you go.
That's a lot.
You know, I have to say, I don't really like Will Arnett.
I don't like him either.
He
Thank
seems
you.
Like...
Don't like him at all, actually.
Douchebaggy.
Yeah.
You know? And
Not
then he
fan.
Went and he had that baby with that Amy Poehler.
True Blood will return for its next season on Sunday, June 26th.
There you go.
The
Still haven't seen the last season.
Should
probably do that. Pretty soon.
The second season of The Big C will see the addition of Parker Posey and Hugh Dancy to its cast.
Another one I don't care for. Parker Posey.
I love Parker
Posey. Never have liked her.
Really?
Yeah. She kind
of You have to see
me.
Some of her early independent stuff. I think you would like it.
Like Best in Show, annoying beyond belief.
Well, she was playing an annoying character.
I know.
She
but I've never
plays an annoying character.
I've never
but
seen anything
great.
Where she didn't play an annoying character.
All right.
And that's troublesome for me.
Here's something for you. Betty White will host a hidden camera show where senior citizens play pranks on unsuspecting younger people.
That's you know what? That's a fantastic premise because most people will not mess with an old person.
Right. It's actually based on a British show, I believe.
As is everything, apparently,
yeah.
These days.
Every season of Mad Men will be available for instant streaming on Netflix on July 27th. It's interesting.
Excellent news.
NBC sleeper Chase has amazingly avoided cancellation and we'll see another
really?
Season.
Really? Amy's going to be very happy about that. Wow, I'm really surprised.
And Amy only.
No, I like that show, too. It's really good.
I know, but
it's really good.
Never hear anything about it.
No, it's a good show.
And Alec Baldwin has announced that next year will be the last for 30 Rock.
His last or the last?
The last.
So that's it? No more 30 Rock after last year?
No more 30 Rock after next year.
Not
this
then it's
season.
Be,
the following season.
Then it's going to be 31 Rock?
No, that's
no.
The Rock will be
the rock,
blown
no
up.
No more Rocks.
Yeah, no more Rocks.
I understand. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. I have seen nothing. Your turn.
I've seen Black Swan.
Black Swan, what'd you think?
When all was... Okay, when I watched it, I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? It's kind of heady. And then when it was over, I was a little confused. But it's one of those that it sits with you.
Okay.
And I liked it. I liked it and I got it. Again, like all of his other movies, Aronofsky's movies, I don't think I would ever watch that movie again.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Wait, did he also do The Fountain?
Yes.
Yeah, I would never watch that again. And that wasn't even depressing. It was just like, okay. It's like kind of a stream of consciousness movie.
Yeah.
You know?
This is like...
I didn't really like The Fountain. I did like Requiem for a Dream, but I would never watch
that
again.
Oh, my God, never.
Too disturbing.
Never. I probably like this better than any of his other movies, but again, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think of the big Black Swan scandal?
What is the scandal?
That
are you making something up right now?
No, I'm not. That Natalie Portman did not do most of the dancing, and the woman who did most of the dancing as her was asked to not talk about it because one of the reasons that Portman was pitched to win an Oscar was because of
All the training she did
with the dancing. And this woman claims that she did 95% of it. And she actually has
Seen the movie, I completely believe that someone else did the dancing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, there's not really that much of her dancing in it. So
yeah.
I will say that Natalie Portman's performance in it is awesome. I think she won the Oscar for her acting for the dancing.
Exactly. If she's going to win an Oscar, it was for her acting. Yeah. But here's what I don't like, that the studio would specifically ask this girl not to talk about it so that they could push her for an Oscar.
In Hollywood.
Yeah, but I don't like that.
Like, remember when Flashdance came out? That girl came out and said that she was the dancer in Flashdance, and there was all that brouhaha. And then remember the woman who did the singing for Natalie Wood in West Side Story and for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady?
Okay. I don't remember that.
That was a big scandal.
I don't think I was alive.
They didn't want anyone to know. Well, no, you weren't. But they didn't want anyone to know that it wasn't really
them.
I think it was more the Natalie Wood thing. I think everyone knew that wasn't really Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
But like, they wanted people to believe that was Natalie Wood singing, and then it came out a couple years later that it was really this other woman.
And then next thing you know, Natalie Wood is dead.
Right. All because of that. But like, you know, 15 years later.
Right. But sometimes it takes a while for people to catch up. Especially if you're trying to get away on a boat.
But I'm glad I saw it. And I enjoyed it. And
yeah,
I
would still like to see it at some point.
But yeah, I liked it.
Was it as disturbing as Requiem?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. Good.
No.
What about when she pulls the feather out of her skin?
No.
A lot of weird sexual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
After our moms went to see it together.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, that's an uncomfortable room there. What'd your mom say about it? What was her reaction?
She said it was uncomfortable for her.
Yeah.
To watch.
I mean, there's like a pretty graphic lesbian sex scene, then there's a pretty graphic masturbation scene.
Yeah. Girl or boy?
Girl. Her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. With the, well, you see Natalie Portman going at Milos Kunis. Or actually, no, I guess the other way around. Are we recording?
Yes. I'm just bewildered by what's happening around me right now.
I had to throw the Kunis in there.
Okay. I wish somebody else would throw the Kunis in here.
I saw a couple documentaries. I finally saw, many friends have told me
this. By the way, documentaries with finger quotes.
Finger quotes, sure.
No such thing.
I saw the documentary on Enron called Enron, the Smartest Guys in the Room.
Okay.
Like, unbelievable how crooked those guys were. And it really is a statement about business and just, you know.
What was the gist of it?
How these guys created. These guys started selling stocks based on things like the weather.
Okay.
And They were going to start selling stocks on like bandwidth, just like
to see what the price of bandwidth would do.
But how they got big was right. Well, I mean, that's what they were selling stocks just based on
whatever.
There were no items.
Whatever. It was like gambling, which is all the stock market is. The stock market is legalized gambling, just on any level.
But they were doing it on like electricity and like utilities.
Right.
And that's how they got huge and how they were making all this money. I mean, they were like number 9 of the Fortune 500.
Yeah.
And then when they started to lose money, I mean, they were always posting that they were making all these profits, and there were times when they didn't. So when they were like losing money, they would put all those losses into, they would make up new companies and push those losses off on the new companies. And of course, you know, halfway through, you find that they were in cahoots with President Bush, both of the Bushes.
Right.
And so it kind of like paints a picture as
the cahoots in to what degree?
Well, I mean, they were getting favors from the Bushes because the Bushes didn't necessarily know that. I mean, they knew that some of it wasn't, you know.
Right. Well, okay. Let's just say this for the record. Everybody knows that this kind of stuff goes on in business.
Right.
This is what businesses do.
Right.
There are all sorts of tax loopholes and ways that you can adjust your finances to be favorable for the company.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I was a 5% partner in a company and this was not even a big company. This was a little company, a little privately owned company. I was a 5% partner in a company that went out of business. And the company wrote off, now, I didn't even know this was possible. The company wrote off almost $900,000 in debt. Not money that it was owed, that it was never going to get, money that it owed, that it decided they couldn't pay back, so they wrote it off. Now, in the eyes of the government, That means you now have an almost $900,000 profit. Uh-huh. Because you wrote off $900,000 of stuff that you were supposed to pay back, but now you're not going to because you just decided not to.
Right.
So because now the company posted a $900,000 profit, I had to pay tax on 5% of $900,000. And I never got a penny.
Wow. And so you did pay the tax.
There was no
way out of it.
I had to.
Wow.
And I wasn't a board member, so I couldn't vote to not write that off.
Right.
So I had to pay tax on 5% of $900,000. Because it was counted as a profit, and I never saw a penny of that.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what these guys did? I mean, this is where it really got, like, crooked. These guys realized that
the end was nigh.
Right. So they sold all their stocks. Yeah. I mean, because at that point, it was still...
Right.
No one else knew that trouble was a brewing.
Right.
So they sold all their stocks and made hundreds of millions of dollars.
And then everything collapsed.
Everything collapsed. And so all the people, like... who worked in all these various industries lost their pensions, their 401ks, like everything.
Right.
But, I mean, and some of these people were like about to retire and lost
everything. Yeah.
But yet these guys, you know, the fat cats,
yeah.
walk away with hundreds of millions.
You know, and it's not just them. I mean, to be fair, as much of a dirtbag as somebody like Bernie Madoff was or is or whatever, you have to question. Now, you know, he used like a Ponzi scheme where he took profits from some people to, you know, get other people to invest and stuff like that, right? So, you know, and the reason all these people gave him so much money is because they were posting like 30% returns. Now, most of those companies, what they're doing is mutual funds, you know, basically.
Right.
So they would have a portfolio of companies that their fund has purchased. What I don't get is all these people who lost everything to Bernie Madoff. Why did they just do a little research and look at what those stocks were actually returning and do the math and figure out, there's not actually any way this could be returning 30%. Maybe I won't give him every last penny of my life savings. So it's like you got to put some of the blame on these people for not doing at least the minimum amount of research to make sure that what they were investing in was on the up and up. Now, the Enron thing is a completely different story, but I'm just saying
there's... Because those people who lost a lot of it were actual employees for...
Right.
You know, they had employees anything, who worked for them who didn't know that there was anything
crooked at all.
Who didn't
know that anything was going on. Right. Yeah, and that is just so... I mean, that is beyond tragic because... I'm sure they had a lot of employees.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were a huge company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. I mean, it's kind of, it's done in kind of a, like, it's suspenseful.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I bet you I would enjoy that.
Netflix Instant Streaming, where you can also see the next film I'm going to talk about, Don't You Forget About Me.
Right.
Which is a documentary, with the finger quotes, about this group of filmmakers who... At first, their goal was to make, like, the next great, like, teen movie.
Right.
And, you know, they were drawing inspiration from John Hughes. And then they decided, well, let's try to get in touch with John Hughes. And then they just shift their whole plans, and their documentary is about
trying to get in touch with John Hughes.
Yeah, but what's cool about it...
This was before he died?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But they put a little thing at the end. Yeah, it was all made before he died, but then they put a little thing about his death at the end. I won't ruin the end, because the whole... You know,
movies about that.
Them trying to find him.
Right.
But a lot of great interviews, and you know, they were given rights to all of his movies. So there's lots of great clips, but a lot of interviews with like Judd Nelson, John Cryer, Howard Deutsch,
right?
Yeah, who did Some Kind of Wonderful and Pretty in Pink. And
which do you prefer of those two movies? It's the exact same movie, except they reversed the male and the female roles.
Right. Some Kind of Wonderful, I prefer.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's a better, much better film.
But it's really touching, and it really brought me back to that time. And in fact, I want to pick up some of those movies on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because I think most of them are out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, they're such great films.
Great films. And really, I mean, they were taught, then they were interviewing like teenage kids now, and they were saying, yeah, to this day, those are the most accurate teenage movies. I mean, I really.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, music aside, obviously, and dress code. But
they're saying like the teenage movies now, I mean, they're just too.
Adult.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, they have like, you know, Paris Hilton is the girl in high school.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. It's just, I mean, and even back then we knew that those people weren't really in high school, especially like.
No, they were.
Well, remember 16 Candles, the guy who Jake was always working out with? I mean, that guy looked like he was 30.
Well, that guy, but they were, that was one thing that he did. He did a lot of things to make it realistic. This is some of the fun things you find out in this movie. he would only use kids within that age range. Like, he would never use...
like a 30-year-old.
Right.
To be,
or even 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all in high school when they made those movies.
Yeah.
And when they were making Breakfast Club, he purposely made it in Chicago in a suburb. Not even in the city. In a suburb. So those kids, when they were done shooting, never went out.
Oh.
He wanted them to, like... just live the life of a teenager the while they were making this.
That's really
like,
cool.
He didn't want them to be going to, you know,
where was that,
clubs.
Like Main East or something like that? Or what high school?
Glenbard or something.
Oh.
Somewhere not north. Too far from here.
Glenbrook North, something like that.
Like in Niles, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, you know, interesting little stories like that. It's only an hour long, so I recommend it.
Yeah, that sounds
it's
good.
It's not, I'll tell you, the parts where it's like them deciding how they're going to get in contact with him. Like, it's kind of amateurish.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think you and I could do something better than that.
Right.
Like, there's long, like, you know, exposition of them. Like, okay, here's what we're going to do when we get to his house. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the interviews and the little, like, tidbits of info, really cool. Alan Ruck is in it, and Ally Sheedy.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Alan Ruck was in that Persons Unknown that we were watching last year. That was such a weird show.
Alan Ruck was my co-star in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, he was your co-star.
Again, for those of you that don't know.
I think you actually have to have at least half of a star to be considered a co-star. How many stars did you have in that film?
I think you had zero stars. There's Matthew Broderick. The Charlie Sheen.
The Charlie Sheen.
I knew he was troubled then.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't winning.
You know, it's funny. I told some girl at work that I'm an extra in that movie. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, let me see if I can find the scene on YouTube. Now, keep in mind, found it on my phone, and I point to this little dot. She goes, well, that could be anyone. I'm like, no, but it's me.
But it's not anyone. It's me. That's funny. Pretty funny. Yeah, I didn't get to see any movies since last time.
Well, then
I really want to go see Source Code.
I do, too.
And there's something else I want to see. I still want to see Paul.
You know, I kind of want to see Limitless still.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, you did see it, right? Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Did I talk about it? Oh no. Then I did. I did see a movie.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I thought I saw that. I thought I talked about that last time, but I guess not. I guess that was something else that we had seen. What did I talk about last
Battlefield
time? Battlefield. Oh yeah, yeah. So we saw Limitless, and I really enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot. Yeah. We get it. Battlefield.
The Battle of Baron von Munchausen.
Yeah, that would have actually been pretty good.
So what did you think?
I liked it a lot. The
I
movie
heard it was good.
Do you want me to talk about it or not?
Yeah, but don't ruin any of the story.
Okay. Okay, let me just say this. Actually like Bradley Cooper in it, which I'm not a fan of his.
I'm not really either. He's not smarmy in it? I mean, isn't his character supposed to be smarmy?
Not really. He's not really supposed to be smarmy. He's more of like a just kind of a slacker loser than somebody who's like got malicious intents and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed it a lot. One of the things that I like the most about it, Robert De Niro with an actual character and not just, you know, a Fockers something. Right. You know, it wasn't a super deep character, but it was an actual acting job rather than the stuff that he's been doing for the most part the last 10 years. So that was nice to see. And I liked a lot of things about the movie. I thought there were some clever, you know, because there were some clever action sequences. There were some interesting plot twists. Some of them were pretty obvious, like they would be in anything. But yeah, I really enjoyed
it. Check it out.
I really enjoyed it. It was good.
I'll check it out then. Then we could talk about it more.
Okay, good. Yeah, it was definitely worth seeing, I would say. Wow, that's so cool. I thought I talked about that last time.
No.
It's been so long.
And it threw me off. You're like, oh, yeah, I liked it. I'm like, what?
So there you go.
Speaking of Robert De Niro, here is a sign of the apocalypse.
Oh, dear.
Robert De Niro and 50 Cent will co-star in the police drama Freelancers. That's right. Rapper 50 Cent.
I thought it was 50 Cent.
Well, I said 50 there. I don't speak that way, so it's 50 Cent.
Okay. All right.
Christopher Nolan has confirmed that The Dark Knight Rises will be shot in Pittsburgh.
Well, sure. Where else would you shoot it?
Well, you know, you would think that, you know, we'd be a little upset, but don't be sad, Chicago. Zack Snyder will film the next Superman film right here in the Windy City.
Nice.
Which is weird because I always thought Metropolis was like New York.
Yes, Metropolis is supposed to be New York.
But they're shooting it here.
Wow.
Which, don't you think that would,
but
like...
But was Gotham City specifically... It wasn't specifically supposed to be anything. Whereas...
No, but you watch The Dark Knight, and you can definitely tell that Chicago. I mean,
No. I mean, in the comic books, though. In the comic books, though. It's not like it's supposed to be. Whereas Metropolis, you kind of get the sense this is supposed to be New York.
Right.
Even though they didn't say
that.
Yeah,
Gotham City.
Right. It's just an ambiguous city.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, don't you think shooting this wouldn't there be some worries not to use some of the same locales that?
Well, it just seems weird. But I imagine it's a cost issue. Right?
Yeah. Speaking of Superman, Amy Adams will play Lois Lane in the new film.
Fine.
I like her.
She's fine.
I like her.
Wait. Oh yes, I do like her from The Office and.
No, that's Amy Ryan. Oh. Amy Adams. I was trying to think, what Amy Adams movie have you seen? She was in Doubt. She was in The Fighter. She was in Julie and Julia.
Can I see a picture of her, please?
Yes. Enchanted. See Enchanted?
Yeah, she was on The Office.
No, that's Amy Ryan.
I'm not talking about...
Oh, you're not talking about Holly?
No.
Who'd she play on The Office?
Remember she played Jim's girlfriend for a few episodes?
No.
And when they went on that cruise on that boat?
That's... Amy Adams?
Yeah. And remember she was talking to Pam's boyfriend? I can't remember his name.
Roy.
Because they went to high schools that used to compete a lot. And so then, and Pam and Jim were...
I remember that character, but yeah, I don't remember it being Amy Adams.
Yeah, that was Amy Adams.
Interesting.
Yeah. And she was great in Enchanted. I mean, great. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great in that.
It's cute.
Yep. But yeah, that was her. And, I mean, I'm assuming they cast her because she has a vaguely similar look to Pam. So
Katie.
It was...
She played Katie on The Office.
There you go.
Three episodes.
Yep. That's what I said.
Interesting. I thought you were thinking of Amy Ryan.
No.
Which would make a terrible Lois Lane.
Yes. But, no, I like Amy Adams. You know, I just want to say, going back to the whole Chicago thing, this history has a long and obnoxious, I mean, this city has a long and obnoxious history of being completely unfriendly to filmmakers and any type of production. It's like anytime there's any momentum, all of a sudden the city makes it more difficult and more expensive to do that here, and they go away. Why wouldn't you want to get as much of that going on here as possible? It's right. Jobs, it's work, it's exposure. Make it happen.
Well, maybe our new mayor will have.
Yeah. When does he take effect?
Soon.
Like this month?
No, you know what? It's right when I come back. So it's like the end of May.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Rami?
Yeah. Maybe him and his brother will... Because, you know, his brother is one of the biggest agents in Hollywood.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Ari. He's actually the...
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, Ari Emanuel. He is... You know, Ari Gold, the character that Jeremy Piven plays in Entourage, it's based on Ari Emanuel.
I did not know that.
Yep.
So he's a dirtbag.
So, well, yeah, from what I hear, yeah. But, I mean, maybe that will help the
that
whole
would be
movie,
cool, though. That would be cool.
Thing here, yeah.
Yeah.
More Superman news. A Justice League film is in the works, but the film will not feature any of the actors from other DC hero projects. So what
they're saying
is,
I wonder if they need a voiceover for that movie.
Oh, there you go, Stretch.
I'd like to take on the role myself. meanwhile, Zan and Jaina, the Wonder Twins.
Are they going to be in it?
No, I don't think it's Super Friends. I think it's Justice League.
Damn.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little
confused.
More serious than, yeah.
So then they won't be fighting the Legion of Doom.
But this won't it won't cross over with any other DC, like the new Wonder Woman TV show or the new Superman. It won't cross over with any of that. This will be its own separate entity.
When is that Wonder Woman show starting? Is that this fall?
Well, did you hear, and I didn't post it, that did you see that picture they posted of her costume?
No.
Oh, well, there was all this backlash, so they've changed it. Because it was totally like shiny leather, the whole thing. And like fans were in an uproar, which... Who is a diehard Wonder Woman fan? I'm just wondering who that is.
Linda Carter.
So now it's more of like a nylon-y, you know.
Why can't they just wear jeans? Why do they have to wear a suit?
It's Wonder Woman.
I know, but if she was just like had a sleeper suit, you know, that'd be even better.
Any woman. Any woman can be Wonder Woman then.
Well, maybe that's the message we should be sending.
Candyland is the latest toy from our childhood, making a leap to the big screen.
I swear you already talked about
that. I thought
that.
So.
I know,
but I have more information. The writers of Kung Fu Panda are currently working on the script.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I had.
Yeah.
But I actually went through some past outlines and I couldn't find it.
I'm going to make a movie called Don't Tip the Waiter.
I'm doing Ants in the Pants.
Yeah, I could see that.
Here are some updates on projects we've previously reported on. The role of the Huntsman in Snow White and the Huntsman will now be played by Hugh Jackman and not Viggo Mortensen, who suddenly dropped out. And Vanilla Ice has scored a supporting role in the Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg film, I Hate You, Dad.
Wow. Wow, Vanilla Ice. Although, how is he going to take off from his busy home remodeling schedule to do this project?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
That's funny.
Oh,
that you know that.
Boy. You think he's ever, like, butted heads with Sandra Bullock, like he had to clean up one of her messes or vice versa? Because, you know, she's a big remodeler herself.
Is she?
Yeah. That's what she does when she's not doing acty kind of things. Movie making stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds crazy. What do you think about the whole Huntsman, Hugh Jackman, Viggo Mortensen thing?
I don't care. It's Snow White.
Yeah. Is that a Disney movie?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Is it going to be like a serious movie? By the way, do you know anyone who saw Red Riding Hood?
No, but it got terrible reviews.
Yeah.
You know what else got terrible reviews is that new animated Easter Bunny one, Hop.
Hop, yeah.
But I have to say, I'm kind of looking forward to Arthur.
I am too. You know, I was thinking, it's actually kind of funny. Like, it almost seems like Russell Brand at some point made a conscious decision to lead the life that was portrayed by the character Arthur in the original movie.
Right.
And then now he's tapped to play that character in a remake. I mean, because it's like, that's basically who he is, you know? But I am looking forward to that too. I think it might be really, really funny.
And it's been a while since we've had a good comedy come out.
Do you think that they're going to have a song by Christopher Cross?
I don't know.
As the theme song?
I doubt it.
Does anybody even write music like that anymore? I mean, for any genre?
That's true. Not really.
It's too bad. It seems like that sort of folksy element, you know, has completely vanished from music, unless you look at something more obscure like, you know, She and Him kind of thing. You know what I mean? And even then, I don't even know if you could say that that's there.
Fleet Foxes.
Who?
Fleet Foxes.
Fleet Foxes?
Yeah, check them out.
Are they folksy?
They're very folksy.
Good? They write good melodies?
Okay,
I'll check them out, because that sounds good.
You guys want to have this conversation another time?
No, but, you know, I want to mention something else about music. I got a HTC Thunderbolt through Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer on the iPhone, and I absolutely love it. I love Android. I love how customizable it is. It's very cool. I mean, it's not a perfect phone, just like the iPhone isn't, but I can sync my contacts on more than one computer, which I love. And, you know, you can access the file system when, you know, just like it's any other file system.
Right.
So you can copy stuff to and from it and all that sort of great stuff. But it's really customizable. I mean, I just showed it to you for a second.
Yeah,
you
could
see
cool.
It's really neat, isn't it? Terrible battery life. I hope they rewrite something to fix that, because it's
but
bad.
But did you say you haven't checked any of your, like, do you have, like, pushes on and stuff?
Well, I didn't turn any of that stuff on. I don't know if any of that stuff is on that I can turn off.
Because the iPhone, it comes with that stuff on.
Yeah.
You have to turn it
off.
I'll
have to check and see. Yeah. But I'm sure they'll do something to...
Seems like you have a little more customization to...
I do. But so when I transferred my music library from iTunes to that, I used DoubleTwist, which is actually set up exactly the same way as iTunes, but instead of going through the iTunes music store, it goes through Amazon's music store. There were some files...
You're probably going to say what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there were some files that wouldn't transfer because they were...
DRM.
DRM, thank you. And so I had to either get them again from the CDs that I owned or, you know, go buy them from Amazon or whatever. And this is totally random. I don't even know why I'm spending so much time talking about this. But I got... One of the songs that I got was a Jim Croce song. That guy had some awesome music in the 70s. He was so talented. And the really sad thing is a dude like that would never make it in the music world today, because you know what he looks like?
Yeah.
He's not the most attractive man in the world. I don't think he could be that popular. But, I mean, he had some really excellent songs. Time in a Bottle, that's classic.
Right.
Operator, that's another good one. What are some of his other big ones? There were like five or six songs. Leroy Brown, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Baddest Man in the Whole Damn Town. But he was very talented. What about you? Got any music you'd like to share?
No. You have gone out on this crazy tangent. I'm just letting
it's
you
fine.
Go.
It's fine. It's fine. Let's talk about...
I'm curious as to where we'll end up.
Let's talk about donuts.
All right. That's all I have.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
And that's all you have.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
YouTube is set to spend $100 million to create original programming across 20 new premium channels with various themes like arts, sports, etc., with 5 to 10 hours of new programming per week. That is crazy talk. We are seeing a paradigm shift in the way that entertainment is delivered.
I'm going to bring something up since you. I don't think you have.
You're talking about the
thing I texted you earlier today.
Yes.
Do you have that in here?
I do not.
Okay. In kind of the same field, Dish Network has bought Blockbuster for, I believe, $228 million. And at first, I asked you, I'm like,
dollars?
Why would anyone buy Blockbuster?
Yeah.
But it's probably a smart move because Blockbuster does, you know, the instant streaming like Netflix does.
Right.
And it's probably a good idea for Dish Network to say, hey, you get Dish Network, you get free instant streaming
right.
of all this stuff.
Especially if they want to keep the brand name going because it does have brand recognition, obviously.
Right.
And limit it to Dish Network.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So that's actually pretty clever.
Excuse me.
At first, why would anyone buy that?
Right. Or license it out so that, you know, when they're adding Vudu and all that other stuff, they can have Blockbuster and they get a little ching-ching from every
right.
transaction. You know what I'm saying? NASA scientists have found an alien mineral inside a 4.5 billion year old meteorite. It's a crystalline form of titanium and sulfur, and nothing like it has ever been seen on Earth.
How do you know that the meteorite is that old?
They can carbon date it.
For that long ago?
Yeah, in fact, you can only carbon date stuff that's very old.
Oh.
You can't carbon date anything new because it's not that specific.
Carbon-y?
No, it's not that precise. Carbon dating is not that precise. So it has to be really old to be able to figure out how old it is. The new Commodore 64 should be out soon, priced from between $250 and $900. It'll let you surf the web and do other internet-y things. Higher-end models will even have a Blu-ray player, but the best part is that it'll look exactly like the original.
Why would anyone want that, though?
I guess just for nostalgia, and if they just want to, you know, because you can hook it up to a TV, just like the original. So if you just want to, like, be able to...
Why do you want that?
Well, what if you just want to be able to, like, surf the web and don't want to have to set up a whole computer? You could just leave that, like, on your coffee table by your TV. Bye, Kelsey.
Well, you could buy a netbook for that.
You ain't going to hook that up to your TV.
You can't? There's no, like... There's no.
Well, a lot of netbooks don't have HDMI out.
Well, it doesn't have to be HDMI.
Well, what are you going to hook it up to your TV?
Well, TVs have... My TV has a... What is it? VGA?
What? Most netbooks don't have that.
Really? They should.
They don't. They're little. They don't have that stuff.
But they should.
Okay, fine. The Commodore 64 does.
Okay.
The EU has come up with a wacky plan to ban gas-powered vehicles by the year 2050.
So the world will be over by then anyway.
Right. We only got another year and a half, so what difference does it make? Future iOS devices may get Thunderbolt ports. Again, this is the Thunderbolt that is the Apple name for the super-fast LightPeak technology that Intel developed for them. That would actually be really cool if they got that. Because then you could just, you know, hook up any iOS device to a TV and output video or whatever, which I don't know why you'd want to do because it's not like most people have 1080, you know.
You can do that with the new iPad with just the adapter.
Right. But this would be, they would be putting this on all future iOS devices, the phone, the iPod Touch, all that stuff.
Ah.
That's the rumor anyway. There's also a rumor that the next iPod Touch could have a touch-sensitive home button instead of an actual button that you press. And 128 gigs of memory.
That's a lot.
That's twice the 64 that it has now. As for the iPhone 5, don't get your hopes up. Word on the street is that for the first time in 5 years, there will not be a new iPhone this June. Let's say that again. There will not be a new iPhone this June.
Word on the street.
Total rumor. Wacky gazillionaire Richard Branson has confirmed that he's going down to the bottom of the ocean where nobody's ever been before, along with a guy named Chris Welsh. They'll go into the Mariana Trench, which is almost 7 miles deep, in a special submarine. If that doesn't sound all that exciting, keep in mind that the deepest operating military submarine only gets down to about 1 kilometer. Sperm whales can only swim down to 3 kilometers. Mount Everest is about 8.8 kilometers high, and they'll be going down to about 11.3 kilometers. Our advice to them? Don't forget your camera and bring extra batteries. That's all I'm saying. That's really deep. I almost...
It won't happen.
I almost cannot believe that they can actually build a submarine to hold people that could get down there. Because the pressure is ridiculous.
Absolutely. It'll crush the thing.
Yeah, I don't know how they expect to do that. But they've got 4 trips down there planned. That's crazy.
But they're all after the end of the world, so...
Let me just explain what's going on here. All these things, all these geological events, earthquakes, tsunamis, they're all leading up to something bad.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Yellowstone is going to blow in the next few years, all right? And the aliens are going to save us, and we are being groomed. Groomed, ladies and gentlemen, right now. You'll see. Werner von Braun was right. Anyway, Hyundai has unveiled... Hyundai has unveiled a hydrogen-powered fuel cell electric car called the Blue 2. It looks like a futuristic Italian sports sedan, so it's pretty great. And it would get the equivalent of about 83 miles per gallon, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Google Especially since my Hyundai gets... like
17.
If that.
Yeah. Google may be working with LG to build a Nexus tablet computer based on Android to show the world how it should be done. This is in reference to the Motorola Zoom, which apparently they don't care for over at the Goog. A new kind of stingray, dubbed the pancake stingray, was discovered in the Amazon rainforest. It looks kind of like a giant lily pad, which maybe is why nobody saw it before. I saw a picture of it.
Don't they call it the lily pad stingray?
That would be stupid. Much better to name it after a breakfast food. Digital music will outsell CDs for the first time this year. Aren't you surprised that it's taken that long?
Yeah, I am.
It must just be grandparents who were buying CDs and now they're hip to the iTunes scene or something like that.
We're dead.
Was that necessary? Just saying. Logitech is coming out with a new wireless router that looks like it has a propeller on top. It's supposedly a fancy new antenna design that'll increase wireless speeds, and at $230, it had better. Samsung has started mass production of transparent LCD screens. A 22-inch model is already being produced for in-store display usage, and there are both black and white and color versions with slightly different levels of transparency. That's kind of cool, though.
That is cool.
If you could have a monitor that's only like 15% visible and just like the frame around it.
Why would you want a black and white one?
Well, for in-store displays.
Advertising, I guess.
Yeah. The example that they showed it in was, you know how like you'll go up to the outside of a store and there'll be a display like in a window? So the screen would be on the front of the window so that you could be seeing stuff on the screen talking about what's in the display behind it.
Okay.
And since it's transparent, you could see them both at the same time. It's pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool. Well, this is kind of disappointing. Google has chosen which city will be the recipient of its ultra-high-speed broadband, and it's not Chicago. Kansas City will get the new broadband that's more than 100 times faster than what most of us are used to. So that means time to move.
No.
No? They got good barbecue there, too. You think it's worth it?
No.
Fast internet and good barbecue?
No.
That's worth a move, I say. Messenger has sent back the first...
I'd be there 10 minutes and I'd be like, oh my God, what did I do?
This is good, but I got to go back home. Messenger has sent back the first high-res pictures of the surface of Mercury, and it looks a lot like the moon. Did you see those pictures? Looks a lot like the moon.
I did not see it.
Do you know what Mercury is?
What Mercury is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You seem to be confused by what I was reading.
No, I'm wondering why you put this next thing, because I've talked about this before.
Right. Did you? Everything?
Yeah.
Everything that I said there?
That they moved it up 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay, never mind. Somebody's developed a transparent solar panel that could be made to go over phone and computer screens so that if you spend enough time outside, you never have to charge the devices again. That would be cool, except you can't actually use those devices outside because you can't see them. So, you know, it'd be better for phones.
Or a Kindle.
Right, but it don't barely use any power anyway.
That's a good idea, actually. Solar Kindle?
Solar Kindle.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know what? Kindles last for like a month on one charge. So
I just said.
Huh?
I just said they don't use any power anyway.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
So, yeah. Finally, this is just outrageous. A 12-year-old Indiana kid named Jake Barnett is already taking and tutoring college-level astrophysics classes. And in a video that his mom shot while she was watching Ellen, he asked a question about Einstein's Big Bang Theory and proposed an alternate answer to it that was so astute that one of Princeton's professors emailed his family to suggest that he was likely on the right track and that solving the problems that the 12-year-old was contemplating would solve the most difficult problems in astrophysics.
Wow.
12-year-old kid. And he didn't seem like a total, like, you know, weirdo either. You know how a lot of those, like, brainiac kids are a little strange? But what was interesting is he was diagnosed at an early age with Asperger's, and they think that that has something to do with how well he's able to absorb and understand stuff. That's so strange. Like, those, all those spectrum disorder stuff related to, you know, like Asperger's and what am I not thinking of? What's the
autism?
Main one? Yeah, thank you. Autism is just so strange how they affect the way the brain works. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
So that brings us to our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. As always, Tony, please, please,
please, Tony. Tony, would you do us the honors of giving us your worst?
Mine would have to be definitely that in the last week and a half, I would say 50% of the time I turn on my PS3. It can't connect to the PSN because the system is down.
That's not cool.
And I'm reading all this stuff online that they're attributing it to Sony trying to beef up their security because the guy that they're mad at.
The guy that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, has threatened to hack into their network and do some bad stuff.
Well, I may have to change my opinion about this kid now.
Right. So, yeah, just yesterday I couldn't play You Don't Know Jack with someone else. I couldn't watch a movie. Off of Netflix. Literally, I would say 3 of the last 6 times I've turned it on, there was an outage.
That is bad. Maybe he's already started the hacking.
Huh?
Maybe he's already started the hacking.
Well, you know, Sony released a statement saying, like, oh, no, it has nothing to do with that. We're doing some things, some maintenance things. But, like,
yeah,
everyone's like, no, it's because of that.
It's because of Tom. Thanks,
right.
Tom.
Right.
Thanks a lot,
Well, what
Tom.
Pisses me off about Tom is, like, is he forgetting that it's screwing everyone else?
He doesn't care.
He's like, he wants to get back at Sony, but think of all the people that, you know, he's pissing off.
Wait, was that his name, Tom, or was that the guy who wrote to us?
Tom was the guy who wrote to us.
Sorry, Tom. We like you.
Hey,
what was
don't
the kid's name?
Away.
No, it's not in there. You had it on your
iPod. It was like Greg Hotz or something.
Is there a product called the iPod? The fake turd? That's a good one.
Oh, here, I found it.
It's probably
George Hotz.
George. Thanks a lot, George.
George, please.
Yeah. Stop. Tony wants to.
I'm gonna play You Don't Know Jack.
Play Jack, online with strangers. My worst entertainment moment of the week. Both my best and worst are not specifically entertainment related. But
I love when you do this.
I know. But it is because it has to do with the mashup. Sort of my worst entertainment moment of the week. I got my first Thunderbolt. It died within 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
So I went back the next morning. They gave me a new one. Now I wasn't sure if I was gonna keep it, so I didn't port my old number from the iPhone to it. So I waited a week. Then I started doing all the customizing, fell in love with it. I'm like, that's it. I'm done with the iPhone.
So what's the worst?
So I go to port my number and he's like, okay, it should be, you know, within about 15 minutes. But before I left the store, my iPhone was already saying no service. So it happened instantaneously, except I couldn't make any phone calls and I couldn't get online and I couldn't receive any phone calls. So I wait a few hours and it's
But
still-
did you have another number on that phone?
Yeah, but once they ported the number from the iPhone, that number went away.
So neither number was on your phone.
Right, I could not use the phone.
Oh.
So I went back like right before they closed, and I was there for an hour while I tried to fix it, and they still couldn't fix it. And he's like, well, you know, a bunch of stuff in the system gets reset at midnight, so I have to be here tomorrow morning for a meeting at 6:45. If you look at the phone in the morning and it's still not working by 7:15, call me and we'll figure it out.
Oh, that was very nice.
Yeah, it was. I was very appreciative of the guy that he gave me a cell number and everything so I could get in touch with him the next morning. Still wasn't working the next morning. Still wasn't working. Every hour or so, I called him. They're like, he claims they had their highest tech support guys working on it, trying to figure out what was going on all day. So now it's been 24 hours with no cell phone access. And as you know, I do voiceover stuff, and my agents and all my clients, that's the way they get a hold of me. So I can't get any calls. And because there was some issue with the phone, I couldn't even call in to get voicemail because it wasn't registered to the phone properly. So finally, I go back there at like 4 o'clock. And I stood there in the Verizon store for 2 hours while they tried to figure it out. I had no water. I had no food. The guy that was working on it at the store wouldn't even reply to me most of the time. I'd be like, what's going on? What's going on? And he would just keep like messing with the phone. I'm like, dude, Tell me what's going
on.
How
did they finally get it working?
I don't know if the guy on the other end
did
something.
Because I really feel like I've been here for 2 hours with no water and no food.
So maybe now you guys know the kind of pain that I went through. I sat in that store for 2 hours while they tried to get it to work. And finally, they got it to work. And then I go to get my voicemail. And I'm like, oh, does this have visual voicemail? And he goes, yeah, here, let me set it up for you. So I'm like, okay. So I give him the phone back. He's messing with it for like another 10 minutes. I'm like, look, I got it. I really have to go. Just give me my phone back. Didn't answer me. Just kept messing with the phone. I finally reached across the counter and grabbed it out of his hand and just walked out of the store. I was so mad by the time I left there. I really felt like I wanted to kill somebody.
This wasn't the same guy who was helpful the day before.
No, no. That guy wasn't there. He left at like, 1:30 or something.
Well, he had a 6:45 meeting. You can't expect him to be there all day.
No, I guess not. It was awful. Awful, awful, awful. Anyway, what was your best?
I don't even remember anymore.
We'll come up with a new one then.
No, Mildred Pierce. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the finest filmmaking I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shot in the HD?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What channel is it on?
HBO.
Huh.
So there's, like I said, the couple sex scenes that have been in it.
Yeah.
Sex.
Okay, good.
And the little girl they have playing her daughter as little girl is like great.
Yeah. Who? Anyone famous?
I don't think so. I've never seen her.
It's not Dakota Fanning.
No.
Just checking. Could be Dakota Fanning. Actually, I am going to use an entertainment moment for my best entertainment moment of the week. And that would absolutely be Richard Blaze winning Top Chef All-Stars.
Really?
Yeah. Because I really wanted him to win from the very first episode. Because I wanted
Carla to win.
Hoodie-hoo! That is so dumb.
Hoodie-hoo!
What does that even mean? That means nothing.
Oh, no. She explains it on the reunion.
It still doesn't mean anything.
Yep, it does.
What does it mean?
If she was ever in a store with, like, her husband or someone.
I know. She told that story a long time ago.
Well,
and they couldn't find each other.
Right.
And they would yell to each other by saying hoodie-hoo.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's an anthem of some sort?
Yeah, I like it. You know what? She won.
Brendan said that way everyone in the store knew who to punch in the face.
Wow.
If you could reach her
Carla
face.
Carla won fan favorite.
I know. I was very disappointed. Was it between her and Fabio? Was it between her and Fabio?
It was.
Yeah. Although I have to say I was a little disappointed with Fabio this season. He didn't really come out with
Fabio moments in the reunion.
Oh,
really? Did you take the reunion?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll show it again, though.
Oh, yeah. It's Bravo.
Yeah. They only have like 10 hours of programming.
Right.
So they got to repeat everything.
And
nine of it is
Andy Cohen's little talk show.
Yeah.
I really hate him.
He's annoying.
Really hate him.
He just loves himself so much.
Ugh. And he's not funny. He'll try to make a joke and he's not funny.
Right. Well, it's like, out of touch person humor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
So it's like when Oprah makes jokes. It's like, yeah, that's funny, except the rest of us have actually been to a gas station. But, I don't like him.
What was your best moment?
Richard Blaze winning Top Chef. I just said it like two seconds ago. I'm
still thinking about your phone dilemma.
Why?
It's just...
Is it bothering you?
It burned my brain.
You got anything else?
No.
All right, don't forget to visit us on Facebook, and we welcome all of your feedback, comments, questions, criticisms.
Being Human? Anyone watching Being Human?
And is anyone watching Being Human that saw the British version, too?
Yeah,
because I'd
be
interested in hearing, what you think of both of them,
the two together.
Send email to podcast@pause.com. Don't forget to go to iTunes and subscribe. Leave us a review and rating, which we
please
always appreciate. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye.